we're telling someone their value, right? Like, hey, you are worth this by the way I'm acting. I'm going to declare that. I'm going to show you your value right now. And so all of those people, like thousands and thousands of people, are coming together around this guy to be like, this is how valuable you are. This is how awesome you are. You're going to hear it by the way we scream, and by the way we jump, and by the way we dance, and by the way we cry, and by the way we pass out when we see you. And so as we're talking through this chapter that we've been going through together in Philippians chapter 2, right, we looked at the mindset of Jesus. And we saw what Jesus' mind and Jesus' heart looks like. And Paul tells us, hey, let that same mind and heart, let that be in you if you follow Christ. So that when people see you, they're going to be like, whoa, it's like looking at Jesus. And we saw that these characteristics were unity, humility, and selflessness. That Jesus came to and exuded those things. That was his mindset when he came to die on the cross for you and me. And so Paul says, be like him. Have that same mind, right? Well, as we end that passage where Paul is talking about that, we come to this point where it's like, why should I do that? And he tells us why. And it's this concept of worship that we're talking about. So if you think through your life, right, it might not be Michael Jackson. Like, I was never a Michael Jackson fan. I never really cared. I never got it. I still don't get it. I don't like the music. I know I'm like an outcast to my friends, but some people like other things. So I wonder for you what that is. What is that thing that gets you like really excited and gets your heart beating and you're like, dude, I love this. I'm so excited about it. For me, it was Superman. Like growing up, I loved Superman. You guys know that, right? So as a kid, if a Superman like movie or the show came on or whatever, I would just go crazy. I'd run to my room and get my cape every time. I had my own Superman cape. I still do. I have a couple. And I'd put it on, right? And I'd wear my Superman cape sitting on the couch because I was so excited. And I remember, because I still kind of do it, have that feeling in my heart like when I see him and he's flying and I'm like, yeah, you know? Or he does that whole thing and you see his emblem, you know? He just looks so cool. And so I guess that could, if you think of it that way, I'm even kind of saying, like, telling him what he's worth, you know? That's like my way of being like, man, I wouldn't say worship you, but like, you give me that feeling of like, whoo, you're awesome, you're untouchable, you know? And I respond. I react in a way that shows worth. And you probably do that. We do it to a lot of things in our lives, whether it's people or friends or things or even yourself, where we react a certain way to declare value. And some of us just do it like, this is what I think I'm worth. And I just want you to think through, as we talk through this passage, what are those things or people in your life where you kind of, you're worshiping. You're declaring a value that may or may not be valid for that thing. Because Paul's about to tell us, as we finish the series tonight, about Jesus. And if there is anyone or anything worth worshiping and saying you are more valuable than anything in all creation, it's Jesus. That's why it's valuable to take that mind of Christ, right? To lose our mind, which is what we've been talking about, and to take on the mind of Jesus and to learn to live like him and walk like him and abide with him because he's worth it. And so I want you guys to look. We're in Philippians 2. Open there with me. We're in the last couple verses of our section. It's 9 to 11 are the verses we're looking at. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. And as you turn there, let me remind you this. God made you to worship. Like, that's your design, your blueprints. When God wrote them up, your function was to worship. You are a worshiper. And so he's designed you to worship him. So if you're doing your function, the thing he created you to do, you're worshiping God. So what we did right now, as the band was up here and they're leading us in songs and we're singing these truths to God, is that we are engaging in an act of worship. But it doesn't stop there. It's not just like this musical thing that happens. Worship happens in your entire life. So as you live your life and you make decisions that say, hey, Jesus is worth it, you're worshiping Jesus. As you're sitting in school and you have a choice to make where you can honor God by a decision or you can dishonor him, maybe it's cheating on a homework assignment or it's standing up for someone else or whatever it would be, as you choose God in that, you're saying, God, you're worth it. And you're worshiping him through that decision. as his name is on your lips and you're sitting at the lunch table and you're talking to your friends and you're like, God is so good. Can I tell you what he did in my life this week or with my family or in this conversation I have with a friend or how God just showed up for me unexpected? You know what you're doing? You're worshiping him by those stories you're telling of how great he is. Because you're telling other people he's worth it. You're declaring his value in your actions and in your conversation. And so as we look, hopefully you're there, right? Because our worship is powerful and we worship in powerful ways. You were designed to do it. So God wants us to do it right, what we were meant to do it for. So I want to ask you a question just before we read this. I want you to be thinking about this. We saw people worshiping Michael Jackson. You've probably thought through different things in your life that you might put on a pedestal and worship. And I want to ask you, have you ever had a time in your life where you had an encounter with Jesus? And that encounter was like enough to send you to your knees and just be like, wow, I'm speechless. Jesus, you are worth it. Have you ever literally been driven to your knees by being in the presence of Jesus? I want you to think through that. And let's look at this passage together as you just kind of contemplate that. Philippians 2, 9 to 11. Here's what Paul says. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, there's a big important word right at the beginning. We'll probably just read right over if we don't know about it. It's therefore. You're like, what? It's like a preposition. Like, why is that even there? Right? Well, that's a good question. Because everything we just studied for the past like 6 weeks is leading up to that word. Everything about Jesus being about unity, right? Everything about Jesus being a humble servant. Everything about Jesus being selfless and going to a cross and saying, I will die and sacrifice my life for you. All of those things. Jesus restoring your relationship with your creator God. We come to the therefore because of all of that. Because all of that happened and all of that is true. Therefore, now listen what Paul's going to say. God has highly exalted him. Jesus is worthy of worship. There are a lot of things in this world that are not worthy of worship. But I get caught up in them. And you probably do too. There's things that are glitzy and glamoury and shiny. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I love it. You know, it's like looking through Instagram or being on the internet or like being out with my friends or watching TV. I see things that grab my attention and call to my heart, you know, like that's awesome. And it causes my attention to be focused there. And there's a lot of that stuff that just isn't worth it. And Paul's even going to make a statement here. What Paul's trying to say here is that nothing compares to worshiping Jesus. He's worth it. Jesus, because of all that he has done, is worth God exalting him highly. You know what exalted means? It means putting him up in his rightful place, glorifying him, putting him on a pedestal where he actually does belong. Like God is saying he is the greatest. Of everything. He is. Jesus is worthy of your worship. And listen what else God says, or Paul says, and bestowed on him the name. So he gives Jesus this name. And you're like, well, we know his name. It's Jesus. He just said it a bunch of times, right? Well, the thing is, when the Bible uses the word name, it often refers to not just like what you're called. You know, I'm Rob. She's Jackie, you know? But it refers to like your identity. Your role or your position, like a thing that you've been given, this title that says, this is who I am. Not just what I'm called, but who I am. And so when it says that God gives Jesus this name, he's not just renaming him for the sake of like, I feel like being called Happy this week, you know, like she has 10 names, you know, something like that. Like it's not one of those. It's Jesus has this role that you need to know about. His identity is unbelievable. And it means he's worth worshiping. And so God gives him this position, this authority. And check out what he says. it is above every name. It's not just some other name. This thing is out of every other category. Nobody compares to it. Nobody can even stand next to the name of Jesus. Jesus is so far beyond worth that we just kind of stand here. The best of us would stand here and just be like, I could never get to that point. I could never even be in the same category. Like, you're out of my league, Jesus, right? Like, you're so far above us. He's so far above everything else that nobody even comes close. So, like, Michael Jackson's pretty cool to some people, but he doesn't hold a candle to Jesus. Justin Bieber or whoever, like, I don't know who you guys listen to anymore. I don't even listen. Like, they ain't coming close. Whoever it is for you that you're like, man, if I just got to go to that concert, and, you know, like, now, like, it doesn't even compare. Your best friend is awesome, but they don't compare to Jesus. You could have the best teacher in the world, right? You're like, you're thinking your teacher is one of your heroes, right? I'm sure you are, right? But they ain't comparing to Jesus. Your pastor isn't coming close. Your parents aren't coming close. Your sibling, nobody. Jesus is in a league of his own. And so as we stand before this awesome God, let me remind you that question I asked you at the beginning. Remember it? Have you ever had a point where you stood before Jesus and it just floored you and dropped you to your knees? Because you were in the presence of greatness. A greatness you just blew your mind. To know you were standing before God himself who created everything that exists. And in that moment, as you look at Jesus, you're just like, I don't even know what to do right now. Like, you are so huge. This name is above every single name. And listen what happens. It says, so that at the name of Jesus, something happens because of this name. There is a reaction, there is a power just in the name of Jesus that things start to shake up and get turned upside down. The name, the identity, the truth about Jesus rocks everything in the universe. It's that big and that powerful. So that at the name of Jesus, Paul says, every knee should bow. That's a big statement if you think about it. Can you just think about today how many people don't believe in Jesus? How many people that are out there that are making fun of Christians and making fun of people who believe in like creation and teachers and professors and these guys who think they're really smart, they're going on interviews and they're like just dogging the church? There are a lot of people out there, and they're like, no, I will never believe in that crazy story you're telling me about a dude who was God, who died, came back to life, and is coming back for me. They're like, that's craziness. I will never believe it. You might even know some people like that. When I visit public school campuses, I run into a lot of students who are super smart. I mean, unbelievably smart. God has blessed them and they don't even know it. And they're coming up to me and they know I do FCA and they know I preach on their campus and they'll come up and just be like, I just want you to know I'll never believe that. Like, why did you have to go out of your way to tell me? You know, like, you want to have a conversation and I'm grabbing, you know, like, and they're mad about it. But it don't matter because listen, at this, as we read this text, you know what's going to happen? Every knee will bow. Even those people who are telling you today, you're crazy if you believe a dude could come back to life. You are crazy if you go to that church. Even those people who say they will never believe in the name of Jesus, this passage says they will bow before Jesus. There will be a day when everyone will clearly know the truth, this name, this identity of who he really is. As the Savior, as the creator of everything, and he comes back and everyone sees him and everybody in that moment is like, it's true. Even the ones who have been like, no, I'll never believe, can't help but be like, it's true. And they fall to their knees in submission and worship before Jesus, whether they want to or not. Some will fall gladly with a heart, like hopefully you and I, and be like, we love you. Yes, Jesus, you're back. You've returned. And then others will fall to their knees in fear and trembling because they know they got it wrong. And in that moment, they realize the truth. My heart breaks for people like that. That's the reason why I love to go to our campuses here. I love to talk to students who say they don't believe and never will, because my heart breaks for them. Because I know the day is coming where they will be on their knees. And I want to tell them with every chance I have, listen, Jesus is real. He is true. He does love you. He has died for you and rose again. So that at that day, they might be on the side of those of us who are down on our knees in worship, because they've had a chance to believe in Christ and receive him as their Savior. It says, every knee will bow. Man, it brings you to your knees. It literally knocks you down when you're standing in the presence of Jesus and you grasp how big he is. It overwhelms you, blows you away. It's crazy because it feels like your emotions just can't handle it as you're in the presence of Jesus. You're trying to just think about how big he is and you just can't come to an end. And your emotions are overwhelmed. Your brain can't reason it. Your body can't withstand it. Your soul has to just scream out, Jesus, like, you are everything. You have that moment where you're standing there and you know you are in the presence of the living God. Have you ever fallen on your face and just worshiped Jesus knowing who he is? And the Bible's full of examples of dudes who got to have those experiences. Moses, right? Moses, how many times has he been in Jesus' presence and would just fall on his face before Jesus? Isaiah writes that passage of how he sees Jesus on the throne, right? And he falls on his face and is like, I'm unclean. Like, woe is me. Like, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence, Jesus. Job has a similar experience. Abraham does. Like all these guys who are in the presence of Jesus, do you know what happens? They fall. They can't help but be just dropped to their knees and know in that moment how small they are and how big and worthy Jesus is. And I'm not describing some emotional, forced thing that makes us happy and jump around. But it should rock your emotions. And I'm not describing some thing that we fabricate and put smiles on and fake joy, but it should blow your mind. It is this real thing that happens when you are standing in the presence of Jesus. As I worship God and believe he's truly in this room, as we are singing, as the band's playing, and I'm just focusing on Christ, and I realize Jesus is here. We're not just singing about some distant God. He's literally in the room listening to us sing these praises to him. And as I stand in the back and just think about the fact that he's right here, it humbles me. It causes me to respond by worshiping, not just because there's music playing, but because our Savior is in the room. And he's worth it. And there are so many times that I stand in the back and my heart doesn't respond. And I wonder why there's a pride in me that hardens my heart to know that Jesus is here, but I'm just like, it's like another Wednesday. It's another Sunday morning. It's another quiet time in the morning with God. And my heart, know what I'm talking about, bonding. And in those moments, you might know what I'm talking about. You might have felt that. You drive your heart back to look at Jesus. You drive your heart back to a passage like this and remember how big he is. You think about the thing that he's done for you on the cross and how no one could ever do what he did for you. That God of all creation stepped down, remember, as a servant to all and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, we just read. And as I start to contemplate how much he loves me, you know what happens in my hard heart as I stand there and just don't even want to worship? All of a sudden he softens it and he reminds me, Rob, you love because I first loved you. And do you know how big my love is for you? It's insanely big. And the more I just let my heart roll around in the presence of Jesus, the more he softens it. The more he blows my mind by just how much he loves me and how big he is. So when you find yourselves in those moments and you're just like, I just don't even want to worship right now. You can't force it. You can't make yourself. And please don't ever fake it. Just go back and look at his face. Go back and let your heart think about what he's done for you. And let him soften your heart and cause you to fall on your knees before him, because it will happen when you realize you were in the presence of the living God. It says that this will happen, right? In heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So like angels, these powerful beings who are so much more powerful than you and I are rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. Like angels go crazy because Jesus is there, and they just rejoice and worship him. On earth, people like you and I surrender our hard hearts over to Jesus and we repent. It looks like shepherds hearing the news of Jesus being born, rushing to the manger, and wise men traveling across the world to find him, and nations being turned upside down to repent because they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and their heart was handed over and they responded to this unbelievable king. That's what that looks like. And then it says, and under the earth, do you know that even demons tremble at the name of Jesus? The New Testament tells us stories of how Jesus would go into these villages and would be ministering to people, and this person would run up and they'd be possessed by a demon and be acting all crazy. And as they're coming up, they fall on their face just in the presence of Jesus and they tremble and they're like, just don't kill us. Don't do anything to us. Because they know who he was. Demons will even tremble before Jesus. And it says, and every tongue confess. Even those who for years and years are saying they will never believe, that are trying to disprove the Bible and say it's fake, even those tongues, there is no escaping the truth. That your Jesus, that one day came to you and your heart broke and you were like, man, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want you to forgive my sin and save me and let me be your child. That in that moment that he floored you and he introduced himself to you and you received him as your savior, your tongue confessed, Jesus, you're Lord. And here's the cool thing. You hear that word, Lord? That's the name we've been waiting for Paul to tell us. Remember it said God gave him a name that's above every name? Well, here it is, this title, this position that everyone will say the name. And here it is, the name is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And what is a Lord? It's a master. It's a king. He's someone that you can trust to take your whole life and your decisions and your plans and your future and your family, and you could take it all and say, Lord, I trust you with it. Where I go to college, I trust you. Who my friends are, you can take that, I trust you. My life, my decisions, Jesus, I trust you. It's yours. You are my Lord. You're more important to me than everything else. And I surrender my heart and my life to Jesus as Lord. And if you truly believe that, what do you have to fear? Because if he is your Lord and your master, David says, who can be against us if God is for us? You have the creator of the universe on your side. What do you have to fear when you know that you belong to Jesus? And he ends with this phrase. He says, to the glory of God the Father. In his humility and selflessness, Jesus did all of that to bring glory to his Father. Jesus being God, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as he fulfills this thing that was planned out before he ever started creation, before the first spark, he already had a plan. He already had a mission. And here he comes to the cross and he fulfills that plan. And it brings glory to God, because what it does is it reconciles everything in creation back to himself. All this brokenness that we cause with our sin, God restores it. Jesus, through what he did, restores the whole thing, and it gives God glory that he's made it all right. So my question to you tonight, and I keep asking you, I'm going to ask you one last time. As you stand in the presence of Jesus, the living God, does that drive you to your knees? Does that cause your heart to respond in worship? To say, Jesus, you are unbelievable. Because at the sound of the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And as he's here listening to us sing in the room, offering our praise to him, as he's listening to our worship, as we call out to him, are our hearts saying, God, take it all. You're worth it. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my decisions. I am yours. That's the greatest act of worship you can hand over to Jesus, is taking your heart and going, here, I trust you with it. Take it, Jesus. I want you more than anything else. Because Jesus is above everything. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much that Jesus loved enough that he came to give his own life. And Father, as we receive that gift from you that is free, it's because of your grace. Let it penetrate our hearts. Cause us to respond, God, with hearts of worship that say, Lord, you are everything. You're worth it, Lord, you are. And we trust you with our entire lives, with every decision, with every breath, with every relationship. God, we trust you. Do what you will with us. We love you, Father. Hear us worship you tonight. It is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.